Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devim sarasatim vyasam.
Devim sarasatim vyasam.
Tato jayamudiraya.
Tato jayamudiraya.
Nasta praeshu vabhadreshu.
Nasta praeshu vabhadreshu.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Bhagavati uttama shloke.
Bhagavati uttama shloke.
Bhaktir bhavati naishtake.
Bhaktir bhavati naishtake.
We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, entitled Further Inquiries by Vidura. This morning, text number 19. Yat sevaya bhagavata.
Yat sevaya bhagavata.
Kutastasya madhu dvisha.
Kutastasya madhu dvisha.
Rati raso bhavet tivra.
Rati raso bhavet tivra.
Padayor vyasanardana.
Padayor vyasanardana.
Yat sevaya bhagavata.
Yat sevaya bhagavata.
Kutastasya madhu dvisha.
Kutastasya madhu dvisha.
Rati raso bhavet tivra.
Rati raso bhavet tivra.
Padayor vyasanardana.
Padayor vyasanardana.
Kutastasya
of the unchangeable.
Madhu dvisha, the enemy of the Madhu Asura.
Rati rasa,
attachment in different relationships.
Bhavat,
developed.
Tivra,
highly ecstatic.
Padayo,
of the feet.
Vyasana,
distresses.
Ardana,
vanquishing.
Translation.
By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The association of a bona fide spiritual master, like the sage Maitreya, can be of absolute help in achieving transcendental attachment for the direct service of the Lord. The Lord is the enemy of the Madhu demon, or in other words, he is the enemy of the sufferings of his pure devotee. The word rati rasa is significant in this verse. Service to the Lord is rendered in different transcendental mellows or relationships: neutral, active, friendly, parental, and nuptial. The living entity in the liberated position of transcendental service to the Lord becomes attracted to one of the above-mentioned mellows. And when one is engaged in transcendental loving service to the Lord, one's service attachment in the material world is automatically vanquished. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:59, rasa vajam raso pyasya param drisva nivartate omagyana tamarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chaksur militamyena tasmai shri gurave nama vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, by serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. We're hearing from Vidura speaking to Maitreya. Vidura left the palace of Hastinapur to go to visit the holy places, because he knew that in the holy places he would have the opportunity to associate with saintly persons and to get good instruction from them. First of all, he met with Uddhava, and then Uddhava directed him to Maitreya. So, in this verse today, we are hearing about the importance of serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Service to the lotus feet, of course, spiritual master, service to the spiritual master, any part of the body is the same. The idea of approaching the feet of the spiritual master implies that we should approach the spiritual master with a humble mood, serving at his feet. That we do not consider ourselves equal to him, but we approach him in the humble mood, rendering insignificant service. What is the purpose of serving the spiritual master? It is said, Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktesh tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. By serving the great souls, it opens the doors to liberation. It is also said, Mukham karoti vachalam pangam langai te girim yat kripa tamam bande shri garum dinatharinam. That by the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains, a blind man can see the stars, a dumb man can recite poetry. So many different verses, they glorify the mercy of the spiritual master. The mercy of the spiritual master is not something which we should want for any material purposes. Prabhupada often found out how people would approach him with foolish requests. They think the spiritual master is a doctor and can cure their disease. Or they think he's like a business consultant and can tell them, you know, where they need to invest their money, what business they need to do to be successful. Neither is the spiritual master just some astrologer who'll tell you, you know, what your future, what your stars are, or something like this. But the spiritual master is nicely described, and usually in our prayer we say, Oma Gyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. That the spiritual master opens our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, because our eyes are closed by they're tightly closed due to the darkness of ignorance. So this is a real business of the spiritual master, giving spiritual knowledge, on opening our eyes to see the reality of things. We want to understand, not simply that we're not this body, that is simply the first step in transcendental knowledge. But as Prabhupada explains here in the purport, that as we proceed in our devotional service, and when we come to the transcendental platform, then we can actually realize something of our relationship with Krishna, that we have an eternal relationship with Krishna through one of these different rasas which are mentioned. Of course, this is the more advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. But this is what we have to keep in mind. Our purpose in practicing devotional service is to develop love for Krishna. The goal of life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, prema punarto maha, to develop love of God. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he came in this world as the most merciful incarnation of Krishna. His purpose was to distribute Krishna prema to everyone, anywhere and everywhere, without considering who was qualified and who was not. He was giving Krishna prema freely to everyone. So we should also be anxious to get that prema. With love of God, we will know also our relationship with Krishna. We will understand that our actual connection with Krishna through one of these different rasas. This, of course, is the level of bhava, which is preliminary to prema, where we can understand our position. In the beginning, we understand simply that we're a servant of Krishna, eternally the servant. Of course, in all of the rasas, doesn't matter whether you're in conjugal rasa or vatsalya or sakya rasa, but they're all serving Krishna. In every rasa, the mood is there as a servant to give service for the pleasure of Krishna. So that is the consciousness of the devotee. Srila Prabhupada in the purport concludes his purport quoting this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasya Dehina Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Paramdrisvarna Vartate, that the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste for sense objects still remains. But ceasing such pleasure by experiencing a higher taste than one is fixed in consciousness. So we can become actually fixed in our Krishna consciousness when we get this paramdrispa, this higher taste, this taste, this ecstasy which is actually there in loving service to Krishna. The more one is happy in Krishna consciousness, then the less chance one will have of being drawn to Maya, or falling away from Krishna consciousness. We want to keep everyone happy in Krishna consciousness, right? That's the job. That's why we have so many festivals and so many different programs to keep everyone absorbed and hope that they're also becoming happy. Srila Prabhupada had one servant, Purushottama. His name was Purushottama, and Prabhupada noticed how he was becoming increasingly morose. And Prabhupada said to him one day, he said, you cannot be in Krishna consciousness if you are morose. One should be sober, one should be grave, but that doesn't mean you have to be morose. You don't have to be depressed. No, we should be confident that we have a better life in Krishna consciousness. So this is the purpose of our devotional activities. All of our devotional activities are meant to awaken our consciousness of the soul, What is the nature of the soul? Satchidananda, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. By engaging in Krishna consciousness, we should feel joyful. That in Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, Lord Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Just simply coming to the Brahma Bhuta platform, you become Prasanatma, you become happy. And as we go on to engage in devotional service, we become more and more ecstatic. Of course, the beginning of devotional service is on this Brahma Bhuta platform. It comes about very easily for a devotee to transcend the modes of material nature and detach himself from the material body. A devotee is immediately relieved from all types of material distress. That is the first sign of devotional service. We feel immediate relief from the different miseries of material existence simply by engaging in the devotional activities of Krishna. Because once we start to engage in Krishna's service, we forget about this material body. We forget about all the material anxieties and problems we have in the material world, and we just simply think of Krishna. Our consciousness is on Krishna. Krishna consciousness, right? This is a society for Krishna consciousness. We want to give up the bodily consciousness. How do we do it? Very simply, just by changing the activities. In fact, even the activities can be the same, but the consciousness is different. Instead of being conscious of this body, the consciousness is in relation to Krishna. Chanting and dancing is done in the beginning. We do it without thinking about it. We feel pleasure in it. We may not be thinking of Krishna very much in the beginning, but simply by doing it, we become happy. As we go on chanting, we want to also think about Krishna. We want to bring the mind to Krishna. This is a process. We want to engage the mind in the lotus feet of Krishna. So the business of the spiritual master is to direct those who have taken shelter of him. He has to engage them in activities which will help them to think of Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada gave us so many different activities to perform. At one point, the devotees didn't have any money to maintain the temple. So Prabhupada said, I think you should all go and get jobs. But when they wrote to Prabhupada that they'd all got jobs in the cigarette factory, Prabhupada immediately said, I don't want you all working in a cigarette factory. And he told them all, you have to leave that job immediately. You know, you have to do some other activity. So Prabhupada wanted us to be properly engaged. After some time, he decided that, why don't you try, if you can distribute the books, then that will be very nice. So he encouraged the devotees that they could do book distribution. And in this way, they could keep themselves busy in Krishna's service. The job of the spiritual master is to see that the devotees who are under his shelter are always fully engaged in some type of activity in relation to Krishna. Using the mind as well as the senses in the service of Krishna. This is the challenge of Krishna consciousness. We can use our body, using our bodily senses in the service of Krishna, in some ways may be easier than bringing the mind to think of Krishna. But we also have to bring the mind to remember Krishna. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita instructs Arjuna that you have to fight, but at the same time you also have to remember me. So it's not that we just only do our duty, but we must also have remembrance of Krishna. How to do that? People often ask, How can you know that? How can I can do my duty, but how can I remember Krishna when I'm doing my duty? Srila Prabhupada explains that we have a formula for this. The formula is called sadhana bhakti. If you have a good sadhana, a good practice of the devotional activities, then remembrance of Krishna will be natural. Good sadhana means wake up early in the morning. Prabhupada wrote many letters saying, please get up by 4 o'clock in the morning. This is a good time. In fact, in other traditions, if you know, in Buddhist temples and in you hear also every morning here in this Islamic country, the morning prayers. You can hear the early morning prayers. They can wake you up if you're not waking up, you know. They help us to get up, that they're already up and praying. We also should be awake and praying. This is the idea. You get in the habit of waking up early in the morning and chanting Hare Krishna, doing the worship of the Lord. This is the practice of bhakti yoga. The practice of bhakti yoga is not just simply chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles. You have to do some more things than that. In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains how we practice bhakti yoga by waking up early in the morning, and then we go get some flowers and offer some worship to Krishna, read some scriptures, chant the holy name, cook some foodstuffs and offer them to the Lord also. All of these different activities are bhakti yoga. If we do these different activities, then naturally we will be thinking of Krishna. Remembrance of Krishna will come naturally in our mind. If every morning we wake up in this way, If you're fortunate enough to live here in the center, then we come for the Mangal Aarti, attend the Mangal Aarti. After the Aarti, we have Tulsi Puja. Then we recite some prayers or slokas. Then we offer obeisances. Then we're chanting japa for a good time. If you do this activity, if you perform these activities regularly, you cannot help but think of Krishna throughout the day. If you come for the Mangal Aarti, your whole day will be auspicious. Prabhupada, I remember as a young devotee in the ashram, the letter came from Prabhupada that if you miss Mangal Aarti, then you must distribute one Krishna book. Because your day's not as you miss Mangal Aarti, so your day's not auspicious. So you have to make it auspicious. You take one Krishna book, go out and distribute it to someone. So like that, you know, these activities have been given to us by Srila Prabhupada just to make it so easy for us to think of Krishna. What seems very difficult becomes very easy by following the instructions of the spiritual master. If you follow all of the instructions which are given by Krishna's pure devotees, then it will be very easy for us to remember Krishna. And very soon also, we will develop this ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. This ecstasy is, actually this is the nature of the Sankirtan movement, that it brings transcendental pleasure to the soul, to everyone. Our pure consciousness is covered by the material nature. This contamination has to be removed through devotional activities. The strong force of Krishna consciousness comes through the mercy of the spiritual master. Mercy of the spiritual master may come through some direct instruction. You may say, well, my spiritual master, he never gave me any instruction. But actually, if you are connected with a spiritual master, then the instructions are there. We should try to, it's the duty to understand what is the instruction of this spiritual master. We can do that by inquiry, but if you're not able to inquire from the spiritual master, then we can read his letters, you can read Prabhupada's books. From Prabhupada's books, we get so much information of what is Prabhupada's desire. Just like some devotees, they're trying to preach Krishna consciousness to scientists. They were never personally given that instruction. But although they were never given the instruction personally, it was given to others. So they take it up themselves. Prabhupada gave instructions to many different people, and not everyone took the instructions seriously. So these instructions are there also for others. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada instructed many of his disciples to go and preach in the West, or to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking people. But no one took it up. No one took the instruction seriously. Only Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada took up the challenge. But the order was given to many, many people. So in the same way, instructions of the spiritual master. This is how we get the mercy of the spiritual master. You take the instruction and you try your best to follow that instruction, to give pleasure to the spiritual master. This is taking shelter at the lotus feet of the guru. Shelter at the lotus feet of the Guru. We are singing every morning, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadhana. Huh? The lotus feet of my spiritual master are the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. However, we shouldn't think that just simply means to come and touch the feet. Not like that. Taking shelter of the lotus feet means service to the Guru. Prabhupada used to say, instead of touching the feet, better you bring the slippers. Bring me my slippers. That is really service to the lotus feet. So, the mood of giving service to the spiritual master. How to serve the spiritual master? Spiritual master is not anxious just to have nice foods to eat or a comfortable place to sleep. Sometimes we think a religious institution is for that purpose, that we should have a nice place to stay and nice food to eat. But religious institutions are not meant for that. They're meant to give transcendental knowledge, to engage us in higher activities so that we can get this param dristva, this higher taste. That we should feel so satisfied in service to Krishna, that no matter what happens, we can never give it up. No matter where we are in the world, or no matter who we're with, we can never give up service to Krishna. That is param jisva, that we're fixed in Krishna consciousness. We become so fixed. But if we just simply try to stop the senses without any superior engagement, then that will be hopeless. We see when people stop chanting Hare Krishna, they don't chant the rounds, then it's not long before Maya draws them into more degrading activities, because they have no superior engagement. If they're not engaged in chanting Hare Krishna, they don't take time to read Prabhupada's books and come and see the deities and do some seva in the temple, then what do? They simply become the slave of Maya. They take up activities in the service of Maya, serving the mind and senses, and leads them into more degraded conditions of life. They forget Krishna consciousness. They lose, you cannot lose the benefit of devotional service. Whatever service we do for Krishna, that is eternal. But it can be stopped by simply going away. If we commit some offense or something, if we're neglectful in our duties, then our devotional progress will be stopped. We'll be stopped for some time. Then we have to, again, if we're fortunate enough, we get the association of devotees, it can bring us back to Krishna consciousness. So devotional service is like razor's edge. It's a fine line. We have to be very careful. When you use a razor, we know you have to be very careful. One slip and you can cut. And then to stop the bleeding is difficult. So devotional service is like going on the edge of the razor. We don't want to go one way or the other, to one side or the other. We have to follow very carefully. Who to follow? Follow the great souls. Mahajana yena gata sapanta. Follow in the footsteps of the pure devotees. As they are engaged, we should also engage ourselves. Prabhupada was always engaged. Sometimes he would be doing kirtan. Sometimes he would be worshipping the deities. Sometimes he would go in the kitchen and cook for the deities. Sometimes he would even show the devotee how to wash the floor. And then he's also traveling, he's preaching, he's writing books, he's writing letters, cards, in this way, keeping himself busy in the service of Krishna. We have to also increase our activities in Krishna consciousness. We have to become more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It means you should have a program to read every one of Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada has written so many books. When you read all Prabhupada's books, then you can go on and read Prabhupada's conversations. There's so many things we can read in Krishna consciousness. We don't just have one book. It's not just reading Bhagavad Gita. But we should read all of Prabhupada's books. So many lectures, so many things we have there to read. And in this way we can absorb ourselves always in Krishna consciousness. And as we go on doing these activities, we must be developing more taste for them. In the beginning, it will not be very tasty because of our conditioning. But as we go on doing them, the sweetness awakens, right? Just like the man with jaundice, he takes sugar candy and it tastes bitter because of the jaundice. The liver is not functioning properly. So even sugar candy tastes bitter. But as he goes on taking sugar candy, then as the liver becomes healthy, he starts to taste the sweetness. So in the same way, chanting and reading, doing service for Krishna, in the beginning, because of our jaundiced condition of life, this jaundice of materialism does not allow us to taste the full nectar of Krishna consciousness. But as we go on doing it, we become purified, we become healthy, and we go on to become ecstatic. Right? That is Krishna consciousness. We can become ecstatic. We'll become so, when we're ecstatic, we'll be very eager to do service, to do more and more service. We won't care who's singing the kirtan. We won't say, oh, I don't want to go to his kirtan. You know, but whoever's singing the kirtan, we want to go. We don't care who's giving the class. You won't say, oh, I've heard all that before. It doesn't matter. We'll want to hear because we will take pleasure in all of these things. That is ecstasy. We don't think, oh, I went to the temple last week, I've seen the deities before, I don't need to go this week. You know, we want to see the deities more and more as we become more and more ecstatic. So this is the idea. The more we're doing service, the more we have that mood of being the servant, the more we become ecstatic and we become eager to do more and more service. Are there any questions? Is everyone ecstatic? Jai.
Maharaj, one question is, if you have given in the morning every day for chanting now, that means you have to sleep early. If you sleep at 12 and try to get up at 4, you're actually not chanting, you're sleeping while chanting. So it's also devotional service to sleep early so that we can get up early, right? And when so many situations are such that we cannot sleep early, so how do we manage these situations?
All right, if you, for some reason, you're not able to sleep early, then you have to at least make arrangement that you have proper time to chant before you start doing other things. That's required. If you're going to just wake up and rush off to work without chanting, then that's not very good. You're going to have problems in the evening trying to finish your chanting. The concentration will not be there the same. So even if you sleep late, you would be advised to sacrifice a little of your sleeping time and waking up without getting the usual amount of sleep. That you say, if you wake up at 4 o'clock, sleeping at 12 o'clock, then you'll be sleeping and not chanting. But you can keep awake. You stand up and walk around and chant. You don't have to sleep. If you sit down, you may sleep. But if you stand up and walk around, you can chant. If you put on the AC and make it very cold, you know, so you can't, you know, that way keep yourself, or you open the, in the winter time, you open the windows, let some fresh air in, like that, you can walk around. You don't need to sleep. Prabhupada himself was sleeping only 2 hours. And he told us, it is simply practice. It is practice. So if for some reason you have to sleep late, then even if you can wake up early, then try to, you can maybe find some time during the day, like in this country, maybe you get a longer lunch break, you can sleep there. So it's a good habit to still wake up early. Because the problem is, if you get in the habit of sleeping late, because you think, well, I need to sleep, I can't sleep early.
I want to tell this one, because many times spiritual programs go on till 11:30, 12.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that sense gratification or is it devotional service?
If it's a spiritual program, it's devotional service. But at the same time, we don't want to disrupt people's sadhana. If people know that they're going to have difficulty waking up tomorrow if they sleep late, then they should make a point of, you know, leaving the program earlier. Nobody's forcing them to stay in the spiritual program till 11:30 or 12. If the program goes on because it's ecstatic and everybody's having a good kirtan, you know, that's nice. And certainly they'll sleep nice, but they still have to wake up. And many times it'll be like that during festivals and so on. You sleep late, but still you want to get up early and come for the Mangala Arati. You want to keep your program, keep the regulated program. You don't want to start compromising on your spiritual practices. Wherever possible, try to get up early, even if it means sometimes sleeping less, a little less sometimes. We'll make up for it. We'll find time somewhere along the way to get some rest. That's why we should wake up early. Because we get in the habit that, oh well, you know, it's so much easier for us to sleep late than to sleep early. But if you know you're going to wake up early, then you make a point of sleeping earlier. If you really need that rest, you make a point, you'll arrange it that you can sleep earlier. Oversleeping is a problem. We don't want to oversleep. At the same time, we don't want to undersleep. We should get, especially if you're driving, you don't want to risk accidents. You want to be careful, make sure you have enough rest when you have to drive a vehicle. We don't want to lose any devotees. So there has to be some balance there.
Maharaj, the quantity of food we take, that also determines the quality of sleep.
quantity of food we take, yeah. Well, certainly it's true. If we tend to eat too much, especially heavy food, then it will make us more sleepy. That's a factor. So therefore, that's in relation to health. We should know how much we need to eat. Devotees are supposed to be sense controlled. Eat solid food and then take also some water and leave some room for air. Right? It's 1/3 food, 1/3 water or liquid, and then 1/3 air. That way then there's some balance there. Don't eat at night also. In Prabhupada's time, we were instructed, it's not much promoted these days, but in Prabhupada's time, I remember when I first became a devotee, and it was always taught, no grains after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That was it. And whenever they offered grains to the deities, they were simply taken and they were kept till the next morning and distributed the next morning to the devotees. Unless some guests were there. If guests were there, then we would distribute the grains to them. But as devotees, we never took grains in the evening. We would take breakfast and lunch. In recent years I've been preaching in Buddhist countries in the Far East, and the Buddhists have also that tradition. They don't eat anything actually after 12 o'clock. They will eat two meals. That's their tradition. Of course, we're not fanatic like that. But it's generally not a good practice. If you want to wake up early in the morning, you certainly don't want to eat a lot of heavy food at night. You're not going to sleep well, and when you wake up in the morning also you won't feel refreshed. So you'll see your health will be much better if we can eat the good meal should be eaten in the midday. The Ayurvedas say that our power of digestion is at the best at midday when the sun is high in the sky. As the sun rises and sets, then our digestion decreases. Mm. But as it rises, then our power of digestion. So midday is the best time actually for eating the meal. Eating at night, and especially things like yogurt should not be taken in the evening after 4 o'clock. It's very cooling on the body. So these things, they should be known to devotees. Generally, in practice of yoga, you know, we're practicing bhakti yoga, but you know, we have all the same rules as the other yogis. Yogis in general, they won't do these things. They won't eat big meals at night. They won't take foods like yogurt in the evening. These things, you know, they're material. It's material and it's in relation to the health, but it affects our devotional service. If we're not in healthy condition, if we haven't had a good sleep, how can we do our service properly? You know, if we're feeling tired, then we'll be irritable. and then we'll argue with the other devotees and so on. Like that. Makes it very difficult for us to be ecstatic. We should be ecstatic. Yeah, come to the temple, Mangal Aarti, and the devotees are all chanting and dancing, ecstatic. Other people are, oh, what time, you know, they're simply thinking. This time of the morning, you know, they want to be asleep. But, you know, we can be ecstatic. The morning is the best time for us. It's the time when we can really make spiritual advancement. The morning hours, right? This morning hour, this is our banking hour, where we do our real devotional service. We're engaged in this hearing, chanting. So we want to get the full benefit from it.
If you have only 2 hours before you go to work, as a time, because you have to go early to work, so what would be ideal? Chant your rounds and do a smarati? Because you know you have deities at home, so how should you balance your time between deity worship and chanting?
Yeah, chanting is important. You can do a very small arti, short arti, 10 minutes like that, 15 minutes maximum, and the rest of the time for chanting, I would suggest. Yes. Deity worship is there to keep us clean and punctual. But it's not the most important thing in this age. The most important of all our devotional service is chanting the holy name. This was explained very clearly by Lord Chaitanya to both Sanatana Goswami and to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The chanting of the holy name is the most important of all our activities. And we must give the priority to that. At least on one occasion, Prabhupada told a devotee, he saw a devotee reading the book, and Prabhupada asked him, "You chant your rounds first, and then read." So first chanting, and then reading. Okay. No question. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.